I wanted life good. And I pursued that. And in pursuing it, I realized that and there was also consequences with it. But God had his hand on my life. And this morning I stand here because of God's love. No other reason. Because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, 16 years ago when I left the Evangelical Free Church here in Saskatoon, and we went to Alberta, we thought God had prepared us for what we thought he was going to do in our lives. And we were excited about the ministry opportunity, only to realize shortly into it, God said, leave. Come follow me. Disillusioned as I was like, well, God, what are you saying? And I took 2 months to figure out, what are you telling me, God? Are you telling me to leave when I believe that you've called me to follow you, to share your word, to encourage others, and now you're saying leave? Well, it was the day that I came home from Unity, Saskatchewan. I'd just been golfing with my brother. And the Lord said, would you go after one? I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, would you be willing to go after one? I said, okay. So I prayed, fasted over that. And finally, I said, okay, Lord, I'm willing to. And then, including that, he says, but not only that, how about your own household? How about your wife? How about your children? Only to realize that the person who God was really wanting to get after was me. I had, in my younger years, not loved, cared for my brother, and not shown him what God wanted me to show him. I had been unfaithful to him, to my parents. And now I was with my wife and children, and God was saying, but are they really priority, or is your ministry to others priority to them? Well, the truth, 2 months later, I did resign, and by the grace of God, entered into a wilderness that I didn't know if I was ever going to come out of. That's why I'm saying I'm standing here today, not because of me, but because of the grace of God, because of Jesus Christ. We went in, and I went back to Saskatoon, worked with my brother for 8 years, but did a lot more learning of who I was. And God was sitting there correcting me, challenging me to learn how to love him. And you know what God said through that, through my household? He said, it's not them. I want you to know something, Adam. I want you to know that you are valued and special, that you are loved by me. And that's one thing I struggled in the younger years is, God, you're that perfect Heavenly Father. Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to be without my dad for 2 weeks because you're asking him to go over there? And we have to be without him in a village where every time we left the community, our house would get broken into. Why? You're this loving God that you said you are, but how come you haven't done this? And that's what created a deep bitterness within my heart. And God began to tell me, it's not them that's the problem. He says, you're basing your love, you're basing your appreciation on what they have done to you. And I, in it, became bitter and vengeful, and till God got a hold of me. And God's been doing that ever since. He doesn't give me much freedom to look at others. He says, first, let me look into your heart. Let me look at what I can do to you, do in you. And as we came back, and we were out at an acreage for about 7 years, God was continuing to refine me. But you know what? He brought us back here. And he says, I want to continue to refine you, Adam, by the same body that you started with. And you guys have been a real encouragement, a real challenge to my life. But you've also, maybe not aware of it, you've also exhorted and corrected me. And I praise God for that today. Because I want to be found before him when I meet him someday. I do want to be found blameless. I want to be found holy. I want to be found set apart for him. That's why I call this message this morning is upside down, the right side up. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We'll be reading from verses 21 through 28. We'll be looking at three things today in regards to discipleship. And so often we look at it as, is it really what it is? Or is there something wrong? And if we don't ask the question if there isn't something wrong or is there, we're not being real. Because so often I would just bury those feelings inside saying, God, is this me? Or is this really what's going on? Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. As I was meditating on this last couple of weeks, actually I went through two or three different messages. Finally, God said, it's not the message I want you to preach. I want you to go to this message in Matthew. But the first thing I saw is these disciples followed in the beginning Christ based on what John said. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Based on this relationship, the two or three that followed him and then more to follow later didn't really understand what it meant to follow Jesus Christ, I don't believe. But they would, as they would continue to go with him and see how he lived, would learn that this is a life of impossibility. The first thing we see very quickly as they enter into the wedding of Cana, what did the disciples see about Christ there? They saw that he worked according to his Father's time. He didn't work on his own time. And he saw how Jesus would just let something come to nothing. Let it be brought to nothing and be willing to be content with that, to be emptied. And as he waited for that, I believe that they saw the oneness that Jesus had with the Father. And then moving on to the cleansing of the temple in Jerusalem when they were getting ready for the Passover, seeing that Jesus didn't go and do a work in a place before he cleaned it. Now the spiritual temple in the church within our own lives, God needs to clean me, wash me before I can be part of helping others, because I'll be judgmental if not. And next, the woman at the well. Jesus taught his disciples that food is important, but not more important than the Father's food, the spiritual food of seeing someone come to Jesus Christ. And as it goes on and on, and the disciples are trained, Jesus eventually teaches them the Sermon on the Mount. And he teaches them, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are in need of Christ, who are weak, who are undone. And he moves on from there then into an intensive training. And now he gets to a point where he's beginning to tell them that he is going to die. And that almost sudden, it just begins to, it almost, if you can picture the shock, what? Didn't you come to save Israel? Didn't you come to rescue us? And now you're telling us you're going to die? Well, Jesus said, well, if any man comes after me, desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But I really believe that these disciples believed that they were following Christ because they had been part of a nation that was in bondage to other nations. Now the Messiah would set them free. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. I don't rule according to worldly patterns. If someone does wrong to you, do good to him. If someone hurts you, bless them. Too often we're so prone to be on the other side. And it's so easy to, it's just the natural man that wants to go and do a negative thing to someone when they've done something wrong to you. The Old Testament law is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus says, do good to those who hurt you. Bless them. So the first thing I saw there is the disciples not only responded to the call to follow Christ. The disciples were disillusioned with the call to follow Christ. They thought following Christ was this certain way. And we see that even later on, that they didn't realize that narrow was the way that leads to life. And few who find it. But as Jesus began to teach them that he was now going to lay his life down, he couldn't put up with what the what the disciples were saying, because the enemy was working behind them. And too often I've found that it's so easy to be self-centered and not even realize it while you are in it, but later on realizing, Lord, that was selfish. I wasn't thinking about others, I was thinking about me. And that kind of challenged me recently, because God is saying, if you're going to follow me, you got to keep your eyes on me. You can't focus on others. You can't focus on what they're doing right or wrong. You got to focus on me. But too often it goes horizontal before it goes vertical. And it's that time each day that I need with the Lord, or else to follow him, I will miss the opportunities. I guess the biggest challenge for me here was knowing that Christ wants me to surrender to him every day. But I say it's so easy, it's so much easier said than done. But I can understand in a way how the disciples were disillusioned, because they thought that God was going to bring the nation together. They thought that God would reestablish them. But that kingdom wouldn't be here, that kingdom would be in heaven. And as I've been thinking about that lately for my own life, I said, Lord, what are you telling me? I'm telling you, Adam, that it's impossible. I'm telling you that you're going to need to abide in my love every day. And Jesus many times says, if you love me, you will do what I say. Or else it's law-based. If we obey the commands out of law, we will be self-righteous. We will be religious. But if we obey him out of our love for him, people will want to respond. And no matter what the response will be, we still continue to obey. The disciples were returned to the call to follow Christ. That was evident in failure. All of us don't like failure if we're focused on ourselves. We want to protect ourselves from being bruised. We want to protect ourselves from being brunted. We want to be perfect. That's really what the bottom line is. I do. I don't like to make mistakes. I don't like to fail. But the disciples, I'm sure, in it still had a mindset of saving Christ rather than letting him die. And at the very end, Jesus himself met them on the seashore of Galilee while they were out fishing. And he restored them to that life of faith. He restored them, but it wasn't going to be them anymore. It was going to be Christ. And I guess that's where the biggest challenge is every day in my own personal life is, are you Lord or are you not Lord? You always are Lord, but if I don't make room for your Lordship in my life, then you won't be Lord. And then I'll experience the consequences of that. But as I saw later on, as they moved into Acts, they began to wait upon the Lord. They began to wait for the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And you know, without him, we can do nothing. And Jesus told his disciples that. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's so true, because so often we don't learn through God's word, we experience God's word. And I've experienced more of God's word than I really wanted to at times. I didn't listen to what he said, so I had to go through the consequences of experiencing it. And it's painful, but in the end, it yields fruit of righteousness, as Hebrews tells us. The challenge to be a disciple is not a challenge that we all want to take up. We can all follow at different levels. We can follow him because he's our Savior. We can follow him because he died on the cross for us and we love him. But we also can go further. And I believe all of us can go further if we really want to. But it requires, like I heard this morning, it requires not focusing on the things, the temporary things. It requires denying ourselves of those things to get more time alone with the Father, to get more time alone to get his mindset, to get his heart, to know who he really is so that we can go further and see other people brought into the kingdom. But too often I've misunderstood what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And he keeps reminding me, he says, know how much I love you, Adam. Know how much you're loved. Because if you know you're loved today, your wife will know that. Your children will know that. Everyone will know that. But if you don't know that, so it's a daily walk to the cross. It's a daily going to see what he did for me, to see that he gave himself for me. But too often I find myself wanting to handle it on my own. And I also believe that the enemy is on the road to the cross. He wants to stop us and say, hey, aren't you good enough? Can't you do it on your own? Do you really need Christ today? Is he really your strength? Come on, you can do it. You know what? Sometimes I give in to it, more often than not. And we do it so subliminally, we don't even realize what we're doing. But to follow him doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. And it doesn't mean there aren't going to be tears. And it doesn't mean there aren't going to be battles. And it doesn't mean that life will be easy. But it does mean a life of peace. It does mean a life of joy. It does mean a looking forward to being with him forever. And that excites me because I know the day is very near. And as I was thinking this morning of what he says in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, will he come in to sup with him and he with me? And I said, Lord, I don't want to lose that relationship, that fellowship with you. But too often, the temporary things want to get that. And we being in the latter part of the church age, it's so easy, and I think the temptations are, to get caught up with the things of this world rather than Christ himself. And it's a daily thing for me. But I believe if we focus on denying ourselves, we're off. I believe if we focus on always taking up our cross, we could be off. If we focus on Christ and what he's done for us, these things are nothing to give up. And discipleship is a joy, not a burden. I found myself for a while the following Christ seemed to be a burden. Do I have to do this? And I did it begrudgingly. I didn't really want to do it. And I said, well, what is it? He says, you don't know how much I love you. And I believe here it's the self-life versus the spirit-filled life resist each other, and we're either in the one or the other. But too often that old man wants to push out the new man. It wants to knock him out and say, hey, no, come on. But you know what? Then Christ gets pushed out. And the encouragement that I've experienced and I'm continuing to experience is that if I know that he loved me, what he did for me at the cross, and that my sins are forgiven, I can pass that message on to others. I can encourage and build others up, and they can encourage me. And we can have that fellowship together because of his shed blood for our sins. Our family has been blessed by this body of Christ. We feel so at home to be back. It's been really a real encouragement. We didn't know where God was going to take us. We didn't know what God was doing. And we finally threw up our hands and says, God, what's happening? We have no clue. And that's the other thing about discipleship that's challenging. God doesn't always tell you the next step ahead. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to know that he is leading the way. And too often I've stepped out and ahead of him, and I realized, whoa, Lord, that's not really what you wanted. But he graciously pulls us back and he says, let's keep going because I'm faithful and I will continue to be in your life. But we look forward to the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know he's coming back soon for his bride. And we're excited that we will be with him someday. Just in closing this morning, there's been a song I've been looking for. Finally, we were able to get it. I couldn't find the name of it. I couldn't find the name or the person who wrote it, the artist. But you know, I did last weekend, and I want to share that with you this morning as an encouragement to all of us. The perfect love of Jesus Christ he laid his life down for us, and now we have opportunity to lay our lives down for others. I hope that song blesses you at this time.